Possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta is at 114 West Church in Champaign. The staff at The Great Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting WILL AM 580. Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields has an in-store nutritionist, provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, and supplements, as well as a full deli, coffee bar, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Today, listeners, I welcome your questions for registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. Generally, she's here with us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. But yesterday was a holiday, so we moved the topic to this afternoon. To talk with Susan, give us a call. Here are the numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area. 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call for you, use the toll-free line, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Susan is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. She is an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She's a frequent contributor to magazines on health and fitness, and her first book has just been published, the title 101 Sports Nutrition Tips, the publisher Coach's Choice. You'll find Susan on the web at www.eatandmove.com. That's EATNMOVE.com. She also has an office at Strawberry Fields in Urbana. Questions about diet, nutrition, and exercise, they are invited. Look forward to hearing from you this afternoon. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back, Susan. Good
Thank
to
you.
See you. Have a good summer.
Yes, it's hard to believe that the summer is over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Too fast, as always.
Labor Day is here and gone. Well, tell us about this book, 100 Sports Nutrition Tips. Congratulations on it. Lovely book.
Thank you.
Who did you write this for?
Well, the book is really a compilation of what I consider quick and easy things that you can do to be more fit, both as a serious athlete and also just to maintain good fitness, you know. I'm a real believer in if you do enough of these small things, it makes a big difference. And certainly if you've got particular sports goals in mind or performance goals in mind, then one of the you know, real big concerns is it's really easy to read all this stuff about these studies about nutrition, but what do I actually do? And I think that's the question I get a lot. And so really for the last 3 years, I've kind of been working on this book, working to develop a book that would be very practical, almost like a handbook. In fact, I met with a lot of parents in Champaign-Urbana community early on, and we sat down and kind of brainstormed what types of things do parents need to know, what types of things do athletes need to know. And so I made the book for all ages of athletes, but also I think it'll be very helpful for parents and for coaches and just for those who are trying to sort through the fact and fiction when they're looking at getting more fit, whether you're looking at trying to lose some weight, looking at trying to gain some lean muscle or get stronger. And it's very practical and easy to implement. That's the goal of the book.
Yeah, it's not heavily loaded with science. It's
right.
It's basic stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's very user-friendly. A couple of topics you tackle at the outset, assessing nutrition fitness. That's one of the things that you tackle at the mm-hmm. outset of this book. Maybe that would be a good place to start this afternoon. You know, the starting point is sort of figuring out where you are and then making some of those little steps you talked about.
Right.
To improve.
Exactly. Well, I think one thing to look at is why, if someone isn't eating as well as they need to be, or of course we can all always work on eating better. There's no question about that. But particularly when you look in terms of sports performance, I see several key areas where someone may not be making these nutrition changes. And what I always ask athletes is, or parents or coaches, what's the roadblock? If there is a roadblock there, if there's something in the way, let's just figure out what it is. Let's tackle it. And let's get that behind us so that there's not a continuous reason why someone isn't making the nutrition changes that I might recommend or that they might know is, you know, are important. And so part of it is, of course, you know, one of the roadblocks I list here is maybe not knowing enough about what they really should eat. So it might be just the fact that it's confusing. There are too many things out there. There are too many things that I'm reading. And certainly you see that on the web. You could pull up, if you put in sports nutrition, for example, you would pull up a lot of websites that just sell sports nutrition supplements or bars or things like that. You'd pull up a lot of websites that might deal with just bodybuilding and those kinds of things. And certainly you'd pull up a few websites that would give good, solid sports nutrition information. But then how do you sort through all that and figure out what's really true and what's not? So that's one of them. I think another thing that we see both in athletes and just all of us is trying to find what might be the quick fix for nutrition, you know, maybe looking at let's do something fast that I can just do, but not totally thinking about changing your, you know, really what you're eating and changing your lifestyle habits. And so looking at that, is that a problem? Is that a concern that maybe I need to think about long term? What's going to help me stay more fit? What's going to help me reach my sports goals or my performance goals rather than just what can I do for Friday night? You know, I get the question a lot, particularly during football season. I get a lot of questions from or calls from maybe football coaches and saying, what should I feed my guys before the game or before Saturday or whatever it might be? And that's helpful. Pre-game nutrition is certainly important, but that's probably not going to be the thing that carries an athlete through the season. It's going to be what they do day in and day out. And so, you know, those are a few things we look at. I think part of it is athletes find that they're trying to make nutrition changes, but they can't seem to eat enough. You know, believe it or not, a lot of people say, gosh, that'd be a problem. It's actually really hard for many athletes if they're trying to put on muscle mass and maintain that. I was just down working with one of the teams that I work with, one of the schools I work with, the University of Evansville, and we were down there, and several of the athletes I met with are those basketball players trying so hard to put on weight in the summer, but it's really difficult to maintain that. Then once school starts and your schedule changes, and because that's a big issue. If you've got 10 or 15 more pounds of lean body mass, you can certainly be a lot bigger on the court. And so that's one thing is looking at, you know, what am I doing to make sure that I'm maintaining the gains that I make in terms of muscle?
Yeah, yeah. Well, some of us can get by with 1,500 calories a day, and others need 4,000, bless their souls.
Yeah.
God.
Maybe 6 or 8, even.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big athletes in you know, endurance sports like basketball would be a sport where you're running.
Right.
And it's an intense sport. It's a lot different than walking or pushing the vacuum cleaner.
Right.
But so it all depends what your energy needs are.
Right. And a lot of that for athletes depends on what sport they're in, what's their position. You know, soccer's a good example of, depending upon the position, you might have an athlete who burns 1,000 calories in a game. You might have one who burns 5,000 or 6,000. And so when you think that's on top of what their typical needs are to begin with, it's going to depend on how much running they're doing, how much they're getting around. And so there can be a real wide range just on a team. And so that's where even when you look at some of these specific, you know, recommendations, it's going to be really variable based on the person's how much activity they have, particularly something like basketball or soccer or a sport where you're continuously running or stop and go and it requires power, plus it requires endurance. And so what to look for maintaining muscle mass. I think that's a, you know, real trick in working with female athletes too, particularly at the collegiate level, is one thing I really try to do is help them understand that the first step is getting a little bit stronger. If you can get stronger and not necessarily get bigger, most female athletes don't get a lot bigger unless they're really power lifting, but be able to maintain just a leaner body and a strong, lean muscle, then that burns a lot more calories. And so you can eat more to do that. You don't need to eat less. If you eat less, generally you'll lose some muscle mass. So you need to eat more and maintain that muscle mass. Then your body maintains a lower body fat and certainly you require more calories. Much more enjoyable because you're eating more. You're you're managing your weight fine, your fitness, and at the same time you're staying stronger. And sometimes that's a challenge for female athletes to believe that they're actually not just going to gain body fat if they eat more. But that's one thing in the book that I've tried to kind of explain that out in terms of if you want to get leaner, you really need to eat more times. You really need to make sure that you're balancing what you eat, but you don't want to skimp on protein. You don't want to skimp on calories. You don't want to skimp on fat, for example. You need enough fat so that your body knows you're getting it so you can maximize the hormone balance and everything that's important as an athlete.
Yeah. Well, for some of these young athletes that need a lot of calories, what are the choices that you recommend for them or put out in front of them so that they're making healthy choices but getting that needed energy?
Mm-hmm. Well, a good example in the book, I've put out some ideas for different high-calorie shakes, for example, that, again, for you and me, probably we don't need all those extra calories. But for some of these athletes, it's actually a lot less expensive and tastes better than some of the things that you can just buy packaged or the big canisters of just protein powder and try to figure out what to do with that. That can be advantageous as well. But even things like mixing up, it could be low-fat ice cream. It could be mixing up 3 or 4 tablespoons of peanut butter in that, mixing up some extra milk and throwing in a frozen banana and maybe some frozen strawberries. So a shake like that, maybe even add a Carnation Instant Breakfast packet to that. So you could easily get 600, 700, 800 calories in a shake that's really still healthy for you, has a lot of protein, a lot of calcium. You throw in a couple fruits, you're getting a lot more vitamins and minerals with that. And you mix all that up and it looks great in terms of the nutritional profile compared to a lot of things that you can just buy. Plus it's less expensive again and easy to make and it tastes really good. So using natural foods like, for instance, nuts and peanut butter is great. I mean, it's probably one of the best things out there for athletes who are trying to get stronger because it's one of these things that I call it's an automatic mix of a good mix of carbohydrate and a little bit of carbs, but a lot of protein and a lot of fat that's more considered good fat or monounsaturated fat. And looking at things like that, things like yogurt. I mean, regular yogurt, which is regular yogurt that's regular fat, that's not a low-fat or non-fat mm-hmm. version, doesn't have any sweetener, it's just regular sugar yogurt is a real high quality protein, good carbohydrate source. At the same time, really high in calcium, and it might be 250 calories per carton. And yogurt is really easy for eat, particularly easy to eat, especially for athletes maybe after a workout when they don't want a lot of solid food. Yogurt turns to liquid so quickly in the stomach that it can get digested and absorbed very easily. And then you're also looking at, you know, one thing I look at as a dietitian is also the health manifestations. You know, I get excited about foods that offer all these things, benefits to an athlete. Plus, yogurt every day is great for the digestive health. So, you know, why not something like that that's easy, fast? Most people like it. Doesn't have to be a particular...
The ingredients are going to be around. You don't have to hunt them down. And you're calling on Mother Nature's finest foods to, you know, rather than supplements.
Right.
To get you through the day. I had a question for you on these high-energy shakes. They sound great, and I guess my, you know, I don't need to have a 500-calorie shake, at least today. So for me, I might want to think about, you know, non-fat milk, mm-hmm. Frozen yogurt, and banana or peaches or something like that.
Sure.
And that would cut down significantly on the calories, but yet would still offer a lot of energy and be very satisfying.
Yeah, one thing you can think of if you're looking for a lower calorie version, even as a recovery drink, you know, we know that athletes, if they're training very hard, if they're training daily, if they're training more than an hour at a time, you know, looking at this window of opportunity right after a workout to try to get in something very quickly is just so important to regenerate muscle and get more energy in the muscle and help repair protein and those kinds of things. But for those of us even who are just active on a daily basis, trying to find a snack that might be healthier, that's easy and quick, you look at something like a shake, like you're saying, that you could even put together a half a carton of non-fat yogurt. You could mix that together with a half a cup of a real high-quality juice like an orange juice or even a grape juice that's high in antioxidants and mix that with maybe a half cup of frozen fruit. And so that would be, again, you'd get some calcium, you get some protein. Wouldn't be a lot of calories, but it would be maybe a 200-calorie really strong mix of nutrients. And even adding something in there for some extra benefit like some ground flax seed that we talked about before, things like that would be really easy and fast, and that'd be a great snack. You know, one of the one of the concerns that I hear about a lot that I've kind of talked about in different places in the book is just timing of eating. And I get a lot of questions about that. Should I not eat at night if I'm trying to lose weight or keep my body fat down? Should I not snack? Should I make sure I just have my meals? And from the limited research we have, and certainly from practical experience, I think it's just so important for all of us to try to make sure we're eating several times a day, keeping energy stores up and those kinds of things. And so something as simple as that milkshake or what we might call an energy shake that we could make ourselves if you have a blender at night would be great. Usually we sleep better if we don't have a lot of heavy stuff on our stomach, so having something liquid at night can get, again, absorbed more easily. And so I think there are a lot of things, if you're consistent and you really want to make changes and do it consistently, to know simple ways to do it. That's kind of what I've tried to do in the book.
Yeah. Well, the frozen fruit is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy just to toss a banana in the freezer. And
right.
That's so good. You know, frozen banana, non-fat yogurt, maybe some frozen peaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, too. I mean, a blender is just sort of fun. Yeah, my little daughter just turned 3, you know, this last weekend.
Wow.
And so one thing that I found for her on a website, I found this French-made blender for kids. That's just a little blender, and of course, it's a little kid-safe blender that kids can use. And because we'll make frozen, you know, freezies at night or something like that. And so she is so tickled to make her own little mix of orange juice and milk the other day, you know, to make her own whipped orange freezy, we called it. And so I think as another way, just parents thinking about, you know, when we're feeding kids and trying to help them be fit and trying to help them be healthy, you know, we've talked about this before, making sure that you're doing fun things with the kids. And even something little like that was just a little present for her. But I think it's going to help us make sure that she's, you know, doing some more fun things.
She's helping out and
yeah,
she's doing it herself.
She has her own.
She's measuring things.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Has she made stuff for you now? Yeah.
She had. Well, we just did the one thing in there so far.
So
she's made that. But it's an example, I think, of kids. It takes a while. It takes time to have kids in the kitchen when you're busy. But last week she was in there 2 hours with me making quiches. And of course, we made little quiches for her. And rolled out her own and made the quiches herself. And she had to go play every now and then and come back. But she was so tickled to have them. We had a big breakfast for some guests, and she had her own little ham and cheese quiches. So I think that's a big part of it with kids, is they're going to enjoy food and enjoy cooking, be comfortable with food and everything if they get the opportunity to make their own things and be creative. And so it's so fun for me to just have her right by me in the kitchen.
Yeah, then it's much easier to go with the flow for everybody, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Susan Kundrat is our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. This is our monthly show about diet and nutrition. Susan is a registered dietitian, and she joins us once a month, generally on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. But yesterday was Labor Day, a holiday, so we moved the topic to this afternoon, Tuesday. To talk with us, give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call for you, use the toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Susan is the founder and owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. And how long have you been on the show now with us here on the Afternoon Magazine? It's been a good number of years.
Yeah, I'm thinking 4 or 5 years.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. So she can take any kind of question about diet and nutrition. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. And her first book, let's hope this is your first.
Yeah, I
think
I hope
this would be great. The title, 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. The publisher is Coach's Choice. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with a listener on line one in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. My son is a cross-country runner, and after his meets, he tends to drink like a Boost and then he doesn't have too big an appetite at dinner, but he's taken to wanting like a milkshake going to bed at night or just before bed, and I'm just wondering if that is a healthy thing to be doing or if you have other suggestions for what might be a healthier kind of thing to be eating before going to bed. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Okay. You know, it's great. First of all, I'd say it's really great as a cross-country runner that he's having a boost after, you know, boost is basically a very, it's a very, you know, good breakdown of carbohydrate and protein and fat in terms of what an athlete might need. It's really marketed more for weight gain or for people who have trouble eating, but it works out quite well for a recovery type drink too. So that's a really smart mix and a good mix for right after a workout or right after a race. And the most important thing to think about as far as recovery, when we look at the studies on recovery after exercise, what most of the studies point to is the importance of having something right after, again, what we call this 30-minute window, because you've got more blood flow to the muscle. You've got your muscle is actually able to take in some more energy and maintain that energy for your next workout if you get that right after. So that's taken care of with the boost. That's great. And then generally within a couple hours, you want to have another meal or another snack. Maybe that's dinner. And then within a couple hours, you do want to have something else, because we find that probably on these two-hour intervals, that's the best way that your body can reinforce the idea of recovery nutrition. And so for him to have something like a milkshake, again, innately, if he needs the calories, it's a great way to get the calories. If you're concerned maybe it's not as nutritionally sound, then I would throw in something like if you're making it at home, I would throw in something like frozen strawberries or blueberries or something that would be really high in antioxidant quality, extra vitamin C. But otherwise, just a regular milkshake, too, is going to be good in terms of calories. As long as his weight is where it needs to be, he's maintaining strength, he's performing well, he probably needs those calories anyway. And so in his case, having something like a milkshake at night would be great. You know, what I would do and what I do with athletes is I always look at ways, you know, to enhance that. If he's not getting that much fruit during the day, I might make it maybe not as much ice cream or something, but again, throw in part orange juice or part fruit juice so he gets some more juice in there, get some more fruit, and then some frozen fruit, maybe frozen banana, which works great. Frozen bananas work great in shakes. I wouldn't use fresh, but I'd use frozen as ways to bring that in. If he needs a little more protein, again, you could throw in peanut butter. You can always throw in dry skim milk powder in milkshakes, too, to add a little bit more calories, a little bit more protein in a less expensive way maybe than protein powder. And so that's the one thing I might suggest is saying, well, if he's just having a regular chocolate milkshake, are there ways we can enhance that with some other nutrients that you'd add in, from particularly from fruit or frozen fruit? But it's really good idea that he takes something in before he goes to bed, because the body, and I always ask athletes, you know, your body doesn't necessarily know when it needs to be fueled. It's not always going to tell you. You're not always going to be hungry when you still need to refuel after a workout. But we know that in these two-hour intervals, that's what seems to be the most beneficial. So any athlete who exercises after school, which is most of our high school athletes who practice after school, maybe they practice in the morning too, but after school, then they certainly need to think, eat as quickly as I can, make sure I eat a good meal, make sure you eat a snack at night. And I have this, you know, it's a problem with some of the collegiate athletes I work with, because again, they might think that after 8 they shouldn't eat, or they're going to gain body fat. If I eat later, does that mean I just sleep on it? And of course, that's not true. Your body's always using energy, and as an athlete, you're just using it all night long too. So there's no problem with eating at 10 o'clock at night if your body needs some extra energy in there.
Yeah, I think at some point along the line, I think one of the things you recommended as a possibility, as one of the choices for an evening snack, was cereal and milk.
Sure. Right, because again, cereal and milk, what I look for is these mixes with a good protein-carbohydrate mix. And milk is a good protein source, has some carbs. And cereal, of course, is primarily carbs, depending upon what kind you get. And so that is, when you break that down, that's a great mix of carbohydrate and protein. Another one that's really easy and fast is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because you have, or of course, a turkey sandwich or a ham sandwich or something, because you're getting carbs in the bread, you're getting some protein. And I think there are a lot of really easy things like that that you can take in that are very simple. Another one that I mentioned in the book, but we even have studies that have looked at this particular drink, is chocolate milk, because chocolate milk being a little bit higher in carbohydrate than white milk or plain milk, but it has good protein, and of course that's milk protein, so that's good protein. And so chocolate milk or chocolate soy milk or something is great to drink before you go to bed as well, because you might even sleep better with milk, but at the same time you're getting a good mix of carbs and protein.
Mm-hmm. So I have a turkey sandwich and a glass of milk and you're out.
Right. You know,
do you recommend for athletes? I suppose it depends on what their needs are. It's going to be an individual thing, but is whole chocolate milk preferable to 2%?
Right.
Or they actually now have a fat-free chocolate milk that really tastes really good.
Right. Part of it is whether an athlete needs the extra calories. Mm. You know, one thing I would look at if you're making something at night with chocolate milk in the blender or something, that you could certainly use skim or low fat. And you could add in extra dry skim milk powder. That would be a real easy way to add extra protein and carbs without the fat. But if an athlete just requires a lot of calories, I wouldn't have a concern about using whole milk, because it's not as if it's going to be a big problem for them. But at the same time, it needs to be something that really just tastes good to them. Even now, how you can find the 16-ounce containers of strawberry milk and chocolate milk and all those, I mean, those are really easy, fast recovery. Those are about perfect in terms of recovery, mix of carbs and protein too. And even buying some extras of those to just drink while an athlete's studying at night or something would be great if they need the extra calories. And again, maybe if they're an athlete who doesn't need all those calories still, they would even, you know, they're even having a yogurt or something that's going to give them 100 or 150 calories if it's a low-fat or non-fat version.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. In Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. I also have a cross-country runner, and I'm wondering about before a race or a run. I mean, you know, sometimes you have them first thing in the morning on a weekend. Sometimes you have them after school, and if they eat lunch at 11 o'clock and they don't run until, you know, 4:35, something like that, what do you recommend?
Good question. I always recommend athletes during the week, whenever they're training, let's say practices during the week, if most of the meets are going to be either after school or, let's say, on a Saturday morning like this last weekend, an athlete tries to do whatever he or she would do during the meet every day as they're training. So in other words, let's say if lunch is at 11 or 11:30, certainly they need to take in a snack around 2:30 or 3, or take something to school, even if something as simple as a cereal bar. You know, most of the cereal bars are very easy to digest. They're just some quick carbohydrate source. Take that with some extra water, maybe around 3 when practice is at 4 or 4:30 or something. If they can handle that and it doesn't bother their stomach because it's not a lot of solid food, it gives them just an extra boost. And so planning that in on a daily basis is what I would try first, to make sure they can run with that in their stomach, no problem in practices, so that if a meet is after school, then they know that that works for them. I think it's a psychological edge too. We know that if you know, you've got something in your system 2 or 3 hours before you work out or before you compete, that you're probably going to have more energy available. And the other thing is, athletes know what works for them. They know that they can handle this, that that's going to work well. I think that is really important. On Saturdays, let's say if they, you know, usually train during the week, but the meet is in the morning on Saturday, if they're not running all the time Saturday on during the week in the mornings, then what I would suggest is making sure that periodically an athlete is training in the morning, or at least running on their own a little bit in the morning and trying some different things to see what works for them. It might be something as simple as a bowl of Cheerios, let's say, for instance, because it gets digested really easily. It's not high in fiber, but it has carbohydrate with a little bit of milk. There's really no study that's ever backed the idea that milk gives you cotton mouth or anything. If an athlete feels like it bothers him or her individually, that's one thing, but we've never really seen that be true, you know, before you might actually run. But I would try to make sure that an athlete's getting up early enough so that can have a little something besides just fluids, because I think it's really important, again, psychologically, to have eaten something, to actually have chewed it and have eaten it, and to know that you've got some energy on board, and then you can have the big breakfast after the race.
Okay.
But, you know, when you think you haven't had fuel, again, if you think like your body and you think, gosh, I haven't eaten since 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to be running in the morning. The other thing I'd make sure is I would have another small meal before bed. I would say by 9 or 10 o'clock, I would have something more substantial maybe than a bowl of cereal. Then I might then have a peanut butter sandwich and a banana, because you've got extra energy then on board the next morning that you might not have had, or that I always tell athletes, what are you doing that maybe your competitors aren't doing nutritionally? Mm-hmm. This is the area where you have the opportunity to get the edge. And so think like your muscles. Your muscles might say, hey, I don't have any fuel on board, but if you have something at 10 o'clock at night, that's going to be real helpful, because you can use some of that the next morning as well.
Okay. How about the concept of, like, carbohydrate loading, or, you know, always having pasta or whatever the night before is a meal?
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, in that because carbohydrate and easy to digest is can, if you've got enough fuel on board, it's the extra thing that goes to your muscle, so you've got more energy in your muscle. So it's real important when we think about, you know, true carbohydrate loading, we kind of think about maybe 3 or 4 days before the event, you're really pushing the carbohydrate really heavy, and then right before, maybe cutting down a little bit too. I don't think you have to be specific to look at on a day-in and day-out basis, but what I would suggest is saying just, you know, an athlete needs to be with a real high carbohydrate diet all the time, particularly cross-country runner, because they're going to be using primarily carbs and needing that. And then the night before, thinking that, yeah, I should make sure I have a real good high carbohydrate meal the night before, whether that's pasta or make sure you have baked potatoes or a lot of rice with your meal or something like that. But then also thinking about that 9 or 10 o'clock snack has to be a good one.
Okay.
So that's going to be really important too. And then just on a daily basis, not be afraid to eat more carbs.
I mean,
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller on the toll-free line on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm enjoying your show immensely. I'm a nurse, and I run a weight loss program in my office, and I cannot get some people to get off the couch and take a walk. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Well, one suggestion I might have is trying to, you know, give them a more quantifiable goal. And probably the easiest way to do that is to encourage them to use a pedometer.
Okay. And, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Part of it is, I think if someone sees that, what does this equate to? 2,000 steps. If that equates to about a mile,
right,
then my goal is to get a mile in. We know from the Harvard study and from a lot of different studies that there's
right,
the idea of this 10,000 steps, of course, and at least trying to get maybe 2,000 and then 4,000. And I've found with clients that that helps a lot, because if they can actually see what they are doing on a daily basis,
okay,
then they yeah, can say a week-long goal for this. Maybe you're getting 500 now, then let's shoot for 1,000 next week, and let's shoot for
okay,
1,500. And part of, I think part of it is if people see, can see the numbers themselves, then that's
yeah,
helpful. And
yeah,
and I know I use pedometers with, you know, one of the groups that has pedometers available and has all the educational things available. Maybe you're familiar with this, is the America on the Move.
Yes.
That
yes,
program. And that's, and yes, I've found that those work pretty well. And
yes,
you know, that might be one place to look and
yeah,
to help
my
out with that.
Very frustrating, because I had a lady today who was just eating and eating, has high cholesterol, high blood glucose, and she said, I don't like exercise. I'm not going to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you say?
Well, some of that is say, well, let's not focus on exercise. Let's focus on active things you like to do. So
yeah,
maybe, do you like to garden? Do you like to...
Okay, all right.
When you're going to the store, are there ways, and this can be really helpful for people if they're grocery shopping.
Right.
Part of that, can there be ways to go a little bit longer? Let's go around
okay,
the outside first when you're going anyway. I mean, things that aren't necessarily
okay,
so difficult to do. But I think enjoyment is such a key part of it. And,
yes,
you know,
yes,
looking around at the different options in the community. I know in this community here, there are
yeah,
a lot of options. There are great fitness centers, but there are a lot of people now, personal trainers who are certified, who
right,
are going into homes and doing a lot more in people's homes. And so
yeah,
there are those type of options available that really, it's more fun. It's not like really hardcore exercise. It's something that they do with someone. So
okay,
some
take
of that is looking for
approach,
options. Right.
Last thing, I was at a workshop, and somebody asked, and they said, what is the best exercise? And the man said, whatever you'll do.
Mm-hmm.
So I will take that approach. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call this afternoon. So maybe going bowling, or maybe closing the curtains at home and putting on a record and cutting up the carpet.
That's
all
right,
by yourself. Whatever you like to do.
That's
key, isn't it?
Because it is.
If you don't like to do it.
Right.
Oh,
the whole thing is moving your body. And we certainly do know that people who get on really strict programs where they just get so burned out, then they're just less apt to get back to being active for a long time. I think the other thing that I didn't mention is just it's so important to try to encourage people to have buddies when they're active, to have somebody you walk with and somebody you might work out with, or even planning things like, you know, going to the store together with somebody, or meeting, I mean, the grocery store or some of the big discount stores or whatever can be really good places. You can get a lot of walking in if you just go in, take your cart, go all the way around the outside first. I mean, you're in the store, mm-hmm, but the outside aisles, and then start your shopping. I mean, that might be 15 minutes of extra walking that you'd get every time you go to a store.
Mm.
Making that kind of commitment is really simple. People usually don't mind. They can go at their own speed, but the idea is you're moving your body more. And, you know, when we look at things like, of course, cardiovascular health and certainly diabetes, there's nothing that can be better for your body than just moving it. So you're burning some of those calories at the same time you're teaching your body to get a little bit stronger. And in addition to what you're doing nutritionally, it's just so important to just be moving the body however you do that.
Yeah. And if you're inside doing that walking thing, like let's say at the armory or somewhere mm-hmm. like that, you know, it can be a little on the boring side. So if you have a buddy, then you can just talk and you don't really, you're not paying attention to how
right.
you're going around in a circle.
Right, right. Or listening to music or listening to your sure. favorite radio show, whatever it might be, that just makes it so that, oh, it goes a lot faster. It's a pleasant experience.
Let's talk with some more listeners. Next, we're going to talk with a listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Current issue of Consumer Reports on Health has an evaluation of pedometers because they found that a number were not accurate and it discouraged people. So I suggest that. Picking the time of day to get things done can make a big difference, seems to me. For me, it works best to get up and do it first thing in the morning and then other mm-hmm. things don't get in the way. And I haven't exercised it today because I didn't do it first thing in the morning. I try to tell myself that if I don't work on maintaining my body, it's just like maintaining my car. If I don't do anything to maintain my car, it will fall apart sooner. If I don't
right.
maintain my muscles, my bod's going to fall apart sooner. I went out to the East Coast to visit some family and friends, and I was struck by the difference in appearance between my mom, who has exercised as a... I don't know that she exercised when I was younger, but certainly since she moved here in her 60s and she's now in her 80s, she's gone to an exercise class at the Park District and walks with friends. And the difference in the appearance and the mobility and the mental attitude between her and her friends back in New Jersey who don't exercise was quite spectacular. And I think to myself, okay, if you want to be not a frail, sedentary person who can't do daily tasks, you've got to keep working on it.
Right.
So that's about my little pep talk for myself. I'm sure that's what it's worth.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener. Bloomington, Illinois, line two. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for the program. My wife and I recently started an exercise program, and she's a pretty strict vegetarian, and she's been having an issue of not really having as much energy. I think it's kind of like going through the initial beginnings of exercise, but she's not a big, you know, dairy or egg person in the morning, and I was wondering in terms of, like, you know, working out and, you know, doing more exercise, if there are alternatives to getting a decent source of protein for people who are starting to do, you know, more cardiovascular exercise.
Exactly. I mean, the first thing you always want to look at if you find that, you know, you're starting a program and your energy is low, of course, it could be a lot of things because, like you're saying, your body's adapting and you're getting used to the workout. But sometimes part of that is maybe not enough total fuel. Of course, as a vegetarian, it's a little bit harder to get the calories in. And so looking at that as a way to make sure that you're not just under-eating at the same time, many people automatically eat better when they start exercising, which is a huge benefit of working out as well, because they're more aware of their bodies, more aware of what they're doing activity-wise, and tend to eat better. And sometimes that'll backfire because sometimes that means you just don't get enough calories if you're watching it too much. So that might be one thing to look at. When you look at protein intake too, you know, protein needs are higher when you're exercising. They're not a whole lot higher, but they might be 20 or 30 grams higher, even for someone who just starts an exercise program who was not doing that before. And when you think of 20 or 30 grams, that's about a size of a hamburger patty, which if you're vegetarian, of course, can't get it as easily as a hamburger patty. If you have an extra vegetarian patty or an extra veggie burger, that's probably about a third or a half of the protein that you'd actually find in the hamburger itself. So just by even eating, you know, one thing to consider is even eating a couple servings of what might be the protein source at a regular meal. And making sure, I'm a big believer in the mornings when someone's exercising, especially making sure there is some kind of decent protein source there. And if that's, again, if that's not egg, maybe that's soy yogurt, or maybe that's, you know, for her, maybe it's the soy sausages or something like that that are actually pretty lean and good source of soy protein, that kind of thing. So thinking about other options so that she's thinking, I am getting something in with protein. It might even be as simple. I've had athletes who switched from, again, maybe something like Wheaties or Cheerios, and they switched to a cereal that has protein in it, like the popular ones like Optimum cereal or something like Goline or something like that, that has maybe 8 or 10 grams of protein in it, just because that's a switch where you can get protein where you wouldn't normally. And so it's not all about protein, but protein needs are a bit higher. So that's a good way to do it. Or she could do what my professor did when I was an undergrad, and she ate a can of beans every day, vegetarian beans. So, I mean, there are a lot of options.
Now, if you'd be up for beans for breakfast in the morning.
But it doesn't really appeal to me, but...
You know, there's a grain called quinoa. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Off the top of my head, I don't know how much protein it packs, but it packs some protein. And
right.
I would think that a quinoa salad, it's a grain, and it's very tasty. It's and you could have like a salad of that with some nuts like almonds and dried fruit.
Sure.
In the morning.
Okay. Forgive my ignorance. How is quinoa spelled?
It's spelled with a Q.
Okay.
Q-U-I-N-O-A.
N-O-A. Okay, great. And then also look at the breakfast shows, because she's a big cereal person, but it's usually like a, you know, Cheerios type thing, and so the carbohydrates go up, and then she basically burns through them really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'll try that. Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the info.
Okay, let's talk with one more caller this afternoon. Line 3, a listener in Eureka. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I was interested in your book. Can you get it by mail?
Yes, you can. You can get it, probably the easiest way to get it now, since it just came out, you can get it on my website if you're interested in that.
Well, and I don't have a web.
Okay. Well, for those who are interested in that, you can get it on that site at just www.eatandmove.com. And if you can also get it by mail. You can actually call me if you like and leave your name and address, and I could send it to you with an invoice if you want.
Give me the number.
Okay.
Ure.
It's 217-239-0921.
Yes.
And you could also send a request. I'll give you my address. It's Nutrition on the Move.
Yes.
And it's 306 West Springfield.
Just a minute. Oh, West. Yes.
And Urbana, Illinois.
Yes.
61801.
And do you have a price?
Mm-hmm. The price is $17.95 for the book. And there is Illinois tax. I think it's $1.35 for Illinois tax if you're in the state. I think that's the 7.5%. And but if you do have any other, you know, questions, you can always call and talk to me, too.
Yeah, and there's shipping and handling?
There is shipping and handling, too, but you don't need to worry about that. If you order it through the show, that's fine. We can take care of that. So
okay.
That's fine.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. Well, that was a nice call to end on.
Yes, it was.
We haven't heard from our caller in Eureka for a little while, so good to hear him.
Yeah, it is good to hear him.
Okay. Well, there we'll leave it. We took care of all our listeners this afternoon.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And in October next time, huh?
Yes. Actually, it'll be November.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be off the big American Dietetic Association conference is that first week in October, so I'll be out there in Southern California.
How about
which
that?
Will be all right.
Okay. Well,
but I'll
enjoy
catch you
that
in November.
Trip. Very
okay.
good. Susan Kundrat. She is the founder and owner of Nutrition on the Move. She's a registered dietitian. She's the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. The publisher is Coach's Choice, and you'll find her on the web at www.eatandmove.com, EATNMOVE.com. And she also has an office at Strawberry Fields in Urbana. 10 minutes before 2 o'clock, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks very much, Celeste. From the Board of Trade, tough day in the bean pit and across that complex today. In fact, all the grains down today on good weather across the Midwest, and ideas that those frost and freeze warnings that might have been out this week probably will not make it through the weather system. So here things are for the day. September wheat down 2.25 on the day. 306.5 the high, the low at 302.5. A settlement price there, 305.75, down 2.25. December futures finished the day a penny and three quarters lower. 318 was the high. The low at 312.5 settled at 317.5. December wheat down 1.75. March contract now 328.5. The high. The low at 323.5. Settlement there at 327.75. A penny and a quarter lower. And the May futures 331. The high. Low at 328.5, settled 329.5, down 4.5 cents. July wheat 336, the high, the low at 332. July for next year settled 332.5, down 5.5 cents. From the corn pit, futures down 3.5 to five, nearly 5 cents for the day, off 4.75 at the deepest point. That back in the March contract. The September futures now 4.25 lower for the day. 221.5, the high, the low, 218.25, settled 4.25 cents lower at 219.25 in the Septembers. December futures in the corn pit, 228.75 high, low at 225. Settlement price at 226.5. They were down 4.5. Did not go through that very, very good support at 225, making a triple bottom today. If people are so inclined to have it bounce tomorrow, we'll find out tomorrow what happens. And, of course, at the end of the week, the crop production reports are due out from USDA. We'll talk about that this afternoon when we speak with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. March futures in the corn pit, 236.75. The high, the low, 233.5. A settlement price at 234.5. They were off 4.75 for the day. And the May corn, 242.5 high, low at 240. Settled 240.75, down 4.5 cents as well. July futures, 4.25 lower, 247.5 the high, low at 245. Settlement price, once again, 4.25 lower for the July corn of next year, 245.75 the settlement there. September next year, 250.5 the high, the low at 249. Settled on that low, and they were down 3.5 cents for the day. September oats, 142, the high, low at 139.5, settled at 142, down a penny and a half. And the December contract, 148, the high, the low at 146, settled a half cent below that, or half cent below the high at 147.5. And they were down a penny and three quarters for the day. From the soy complex, this is where things got rough for the day. 598, the high in the nearby Septembers, low at 583. A settlement price at 588. They were down 26.75 cents today. November beans 594 high, low at 579. Settled 583.5, down 28.75. And the January 599.5 high, low at 587. Settled 591, down 27.5 cents. March contract 606 the high, the low at 591. Settled 597.25, down 29.25. And the May futures 609.5 high, low at 596. Settlement price for the May soybean 601.75, down 26.25. July futures for next year 615 the high, the low at 604, settled $6.08, down 26 cents a bushel. From the bean meal pit, September contract 174 on the high, the low at 169 even, settled at 173.40. They were off 90 for the day. And the October bean meal 168.50 the high, the low at 165, settled 167.80. They were off 370. Soybean oil, September contract 26.65, or rather 25.65, the high for the day. Low at 24.70. Settlement price there 26.23. They were down 1.28. And the October bean oil at 25.40 high, low at $24.23, settled 25.87. And they were off 1.52 for the day. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Thank you, Todd. Feeder cattle finished higher. Live cattle, lean hogs, and February bellies finished lower today. September feeder cattle, 109.87.5, the high, 109.25, the low, 109.52.5, the settlement, that up 12.5. October, 107.15, the high, 106.30, the low, 106.57.5, the settlement, that up 40. November, 106.40, the high, 105.50, the low, 105.97.5, the settlement, that up 20. October live cattle, 83.05, the high, 82.05, the low, 82.37.5, the settlement, that down 35. December, 86.25, the high, 85.35, the low, 85.90, the settlement, that down 15. October lean hog, 66.37.5, the high, the low, 65.05, the settlement, 65.12.5, that down 27.5. December, 64 even the high, 63.05 the low, 63.27.5 the settlement, that down 2.5 cents. February lean hog, 62.90 the high, 62 even the low, 62.32.5 the settlement. That was up 12.5 cents. April lean hogs, today's high, 61.60 the low, 60.50 the settlement, 60.85 that down 45. And February pork bellies, 97.10 the high, 95.20 the low, 95.75 the settlement, that down 95. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently up 52 points at 10,312. The NASDAQ up 6 points at 1850. And the S&P 500 4 higher at 1118.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The 2004-2005 season opens this month with performances by singer Emmylou Harris, family entertainer Dan Zanes, the Baryshnikov Dance Foundation's Forbidden Christmas, and jazz masters Nancy Wilson and Ramsey Lewis. Visit KrannertCenter.com for information on the entire season.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Paul Baumberger from Chattanooga, Tennessee writes, Dear Dr. Science, what is a wazoo and how much do you have to have before something starts coming out of it?
Everyone has a wazoo, but they come in all different sizes and appear in different locations on the body. You can easily find your wazoo by standing naked under shortwave ultraviolet radiation and watching yourself in a polarized mirror. Your wazoo will appear as a grapefruit-sized appendage somewhere below the waist and above the knees. Unless you're Finnish or Hungarian, in which case it'll be a pumpkin-shaped object appearing on top of the head. Wazoo watching's a fun way to spend an evening, and I often take the time to look at my wazoo or someone else's after a hard day at the lab.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath and distributed by PRI, Dr. Science's new CD, Get Smart, is now available via mail and includes a Dr. Science screensaver for PC computers. For information, call 800-989-3825.
5-year-old Sam Marcenison knows what to expect when he leaves home for kindergarten.
Mommy's gonna be crying.
And his mother agrees.
It's a whole new stage in our lives, not just his life, and we're going to try and be ready for that.
The Countdown to Kindergarten, later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana. Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Severance Reed Architects, Designers, and Planners, dedicated to distinctive projects for higher education, lifestyle, and cultural clients. On the web at www.ratioarchitects.com.
It's 1 minute before 2 o'clock. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois. Our technical director today is Henry Frayne.